All right, gentlemen, before we get started today, here's your joke today. So I went to Starbucks this morning. Gentlemen, why do they call it a latte? Anyone know? Because it costs a latte. You like that one? Use that one. Biggs, use that one at Mercy. You'll be a hit. All right, gentlemen. Chapter 16, we're going to talk all about this concept called absolutism. And we have to define what absolutism is because it might be important. Like, I might talk about it a lot, Gosden. We might bring it up from time to time. Absolutism deals with the way in which the government is structured. Under absolutism, it is good to be the king. That is a good quote I would put down in your notes there, Bauman. It is good to be the king. Because the king is all powerful. Under absolutism, it's good to be the king. Because the king holds total power. And what we're going to do is we're going to start talking about England. This week, we're also going to talk about Spain and the Holy Roman Empire. And we'll also talk about France. And what would be a good idea to think about in the back of my head is what was going on in absolutism in England and how was it different than what was going on in Spain and the Holy Roman Empire, which is being ruled by the same folks, and also France. Okay, so that's what we're going to look at today. So absolutism is when the king holds all government power. But what if Reed doesn't like what the king's doing? Too bad, Cupcake. Sorry, you go against the king. All good. And where we're going to start first, we're going to start just across the pond in jolly old England. AR, you got a good English accent?
Not really.
Not really, didn't sound like it. Anyway, we want to start talking about, well, what did absolutism look like in England? And we want to talk about a couple of folks that we left off in. Last time we were talking about England, we were talking about the rise of the Anglican Church, correct? The Church of England, the King Henry VIII was breaking away. He wanted a divorce. The Pope wouldn't grant it to him. So he creates a new church called the Church of England. Well, we're going to talk about Henry VIII and his daughter Elizabeth I. And in England, the King of England or the Queen of England, Henry was a king, Elizabeth was a queen, had a good relationship with Parliament. Parliament was a legislative body. And here's how the relationship worked in England. The king or the queen would ask for something, and Parliament would give a rubber stamp or put their seal of approval on it. They had a good working relationship. There was not conflict between Parliament and the English monarchy. Gosden, I would write some of this down maybe, buddy. It's just, I know I have a very eloquent voice. I sound very nice. It's very pleasing to the ear. But I would write this down. It's a good relationship. The monarchy in England and Parliament, which was their legislative body, had a good working relationship for the most part. For example, when Henry VIII was upset with the Catholic Church and wanted to break away, Parliament passed the Act of Supremacy, allowing Henry to create the Anglican Church or the Church of England. And who did they put at the head of the Church of England? Henry VIII. So is maybe the Act of Supremacy a good example of this relationship? Because guess what, gentlemen? Most of these people were Catholic. Okay? The vast majority of the folks in England, the vast majority were Catholic. But when the king said, hey, they're not being nice to me, I want a divorce and the Pope won't let me, there was no resistance on the part of Parliament. Instead, they worked with Henry VIII in helping to break away from the Catholic Church, passing the Act of Supremacy, putting Henry at the top of the pecking order, and at the top of the Church of England. And that relationship continued with his daughter, Elizabeth I, who worked with Parliament. Now, there was a rule in England that said you could not levy taxes, you could not put taxes on people unless Parliament approved. Well, whenever Elizabeth would go to Parliament and say, hey, we need some more cheddar, cash, money, Parliament almost always followed. So during the time of both Henry VIII and Elizabeth I, the monarchy, the English monarchy, had a good relationship. So basically, under English absolutism for early on, they basically had most of the power, but they were supported by Parliament. And Parliament was supposed to be kind of the representative of the people. So we're going to keep this in the back of our noodle, okay? We want to see, we're going to compare and contrast that, what's going on in other countries. It's like that's a big idea or a big question, isn't it? That might be something we're going to talk about, Mossy. I may ask you to compare and contrast that at a later time. Maybe on a test. Maybe. I don't want to give away too much, though. I don't want to insult your intelligence. So early on, with Henry VIII and with Elizabeth, there was a good working relationship. But we're going to see some things are going to change.